Today we look deep within the soul of the Christian, and we see a spiritual experience that we all will go through sooner or later, a very unpleasant one. And it goes by various names. 500 years ago, a Spanish priest wrote a book more or less on the subject, and he entitled it The Dark Night of the Soul. I don't particularly recommend that book, but the title captures the essence of the experience, The Dark Night of the Soul. More recently, the great preacher and doctor Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote a book on the same theme, which I do recommend, and tens of thousands have found help from it, entitled Spiritual Depression. A.W. Tozer wrote a short essay on it called The Ministry of the Night. Thomas Goodwin, the Puritan, wrote a short essay on it called The Child of Light Walking in Darkness. And that's not the darkness of sin, but the darkness of spiritual depression. Every Christian will go through this sooner or later, some more than others, and it may be short and intense or long periods of times, months or even years. Spiritual depression. Now, it is similar to natural depression, but there are also notable differences. So let's address that as we begin. Every human being will experience natural depression at times, including Christians, but even non-Christians. One of my heroes of the 20th century was Winston Churchill, and I read a biography, and they said, oh, he experienced great, severe natural depression, and he wasn't a Christian. But he went through deep, dark times of weeping, and he would describe it as his black dog that went with him everywhere and sometimes would attack him. Natural depression. Sometimes natural depression is rooted in biological factors that we have with us, certain side effects of medication, certain other imbalances within us, certain ailments. So if you go through natural depression, share that with your doctor. Sometimes it's because of something you're going through temporarily or that you will have to adjust to. Speak with your doctor about that. Other times, natural depression may be seasonal. Some people go through it at Christmas. Many people go through it after Christmas. After the great joy of Christmas and New Year comes the winter months. And when there's less sunlight and there's rain and snow. And January and February are very gloomy for many people. Some people go through it on Blue Monday morning. And there are many causes of natural depression. Overwork, emotional burnout, marital problems, financial problems, and it may come on because of a tragedy we experience unexpectedly, and then we have to go through the aftermath of depression afterwards. It may come on gradually, such as loneliness, old age. And when a non-Christian experiences natural depression, that is part of his overall spiritual makeup because he is a sinner. And much of the answer is because he doesn't know God. This is God's way of saying, I am the only one that can truly satisfy you. You are going through this existential emptiness because you do not know me. Or as it says in the Bible, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. So it's a symptom of his need for reconciliation with God. And so the first thing that I would say to that person that's an unbeliever is you need God. Come back to God. Be reconciled by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But though everyone, Christian and non-Christian, may experience natural depression, only Christians experience spiritual depression. This is part of something that they go through because they're Christians. It's part of their spiritual walk, and it's a necessary ingredient to their spirituality. It affects our relationship with God, even though we have been reconciled to God. You could say it's like this. Just as only married people experience marital problems, only Christians experience spiritual depression. Now, there are a couple of popular misunderstandings of this. One of them says, well, no true Christian ever has spiritual depression. That's not only false, but that is cruel. Of course Christians go through it. You find it in the Bible. You find it in the lives of great Christians. Spurgeon, I read a book about Spurgeon's depression and the agonies that he went through. Hours and hours of weeping. Other great Christians, Philip Doddridge, Martin Lloyd-Jones, others go through it. Many Christians go through this. And some people that will say, well, I've never been through it. And to them, I say, you just wait. The time is coming when you too will go through the valley of the dark night of the soul. And then other Christians, maybe those that haven't experienced it much, will offer easy answers. And Lloyd-Jones addressed this in his book, and he says, that's like a quack doctor giving aspirin for cancer. And that's treating symptoms rather than the root of it. This is the dark night of the soul. Easy answers don't work. Easy answers like, well, just sing a little song and smile and just be happy. And that's mocking the person going through it. Nor will natural answers work. Spiritual problems need spiritual answers. Now, again, it might be partially biological, but there's also the spiritual side of it, and that's what we're looking at mainly this morning. So natural answers won't work, and certainly sinful answers won't. Just like sinful answers will never help natural depression, and that's why people will run to the bottle or to drugs or to sex or something else, it'll never work. Liquor never helps any problem. That's pouring gas on a problem. Same thing spiritually. So if you go through this, don't turn to the bottle or any sinful answer. It will only compound it. Now, the road to heaven takes us up and down and in and out. We all wish we could live on the mountaintop. Now, the mountain is like when you feel close to God, you're overwhelmed with joy and peace. And you say, like those disciples that were on a mountain, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Maybe you felt like that on some sunny day and you say, I've never felt closer to God in my life. Maybe at a Bible conference or on a Sunday morning or you're reading the Bible. Everything's going well. The Christian life will take you on top of mountains. It'll also take you through forests. Those are the times that I say are productive times in the Christian life. You're growing and you sense life and you see God is blessing your outreach or your spiritual gift. Productive times. Yes, but also on this road, you're going to go through deserts. Wildernesses like the Jews did when they came out of Egypt. What's a desert? In the Christian life, a desert is when you don't feel good, you don't feel bad, you just don't feel anything. You feel dry and you say, where is God? I'm empty. And I want to go back to the forest or I want to go back to the mountain. And God says, no, you have to keep going. And then as you keep going, you go into a deep valley. The road to heaven will lead through valleys. And some of us know what that's like. Deep valleys. Some of them are like a canyon so deep. All it is the shadows because the sunlight doesn't come down and it gets very, very dark. The dark night of the soul. And it may even seem deeper than the valley. It may seem like you are in a deep hole, a pit, and there's not even a glimmer of sunlight in there. And you say, help, I don't know how I got in. I want to get out. A very deep pit. But you keep going over the mountains, through the deserts and valleys. And you learn the lessons of God's word. Don't give up. Now, just like with natural depression, certain things may serve as a catalyst that will bring on spiritual depression. Might trigger it. Some tragedy. A divorce. A scandal. Betrayal by a friend. David went through that when his own son turned against him and tried to take over the kingdom, and David had to flee for his life, and in that period, he wrote some of the great Psalms, crying out to God. or an ongoing illness. You know, if it's a short one, we think we can handle it, but when it goes on and on and we don't get any better, I remember one lady said, "Pastor, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's not just the physical side, but it's the emotional side. Why doesn't God help me? Why didn't he cure me?" She has now gone into spiritual depression. Sometimes when we feel our prayers aren't being answered, when we pray for a lost loved one, "God, why aren't you saving my spouse or my child? I've prayed and I've prayed. Why, God?" Or when you lose a child, not just natural depression, but you cry out, "Lord, you gave them to us and then you took them away. Why, Lord?" That question, "Why, Lord?" characterizes spiritual depression. When we go through a deep valley as a Christian and we don't understand, "Why is the Lord letting this happen to me? I'm his child." And we cry out, "Why, Lord, why?" And you don't hear an answer. The heavens are silent. And you read the Bible and you say, "Why? I want an answer." And then sometimes this deep valley follows a very high mountain. And on that mountain is great spiritual success. Valleys follow mountains. We see that in Elijah on literally Mount Carmel. And if there is ever a spiritual victory, it's when he called down fire and then he slew the Baal prophets. If that wasn't spiritual success, there is no spiritual success. Keep reading. Right after that, he went into a deep valley and he said, "Lord, I alone am left. Why, Lord? Why is there not revival that follows this? Why, Lord?" And he was depressed for a long time. Many Christians experience the dark night of the soul more than you realize. Pastors go through it, and pastors have people in their church come to them and say, "Don't tell anybody, Pastor, but I'm going through something very deep and spiritually gut-wrenching." People come to church in this state and we hide behind a mask. We put on a smile, but nobody knows what we're going through. And many a time a Christian goes through it, and it's all he can do when he sits in church to stop from weeping. And when he goes home, he breaks down and cries and pours out his heart and says, "Nobody knows, and I wonder if anybody would care." He's going through a very deep, dark night of the soul. Maybe someone here today is going through that. There is hope. You see, when we go through this, we feel there is no hope, hopelessness, despair. And you think it's only getting worse. Will it ever end? That's what we're looking at this morning. Sometimes it's a result of spiritual disappointment. I've heard Christians say, "You know, when I first got saved, everything was just so happy because my sins were forgiven and I felt like I was so close to heaven. And then sometime after that, those great feelings wore off and I didn't expect that. You know, that preacher that led me to the Lord or that youth leader said, 'Come to Christ and all your problems will go away.'" You know, people do that. They'll promise probably more than the reality and say, "All your problems will go away and you'll be happy all the day long." And Pastor, it was like that for a while, but it wore off. And I didn't expect this sadness in the Christian life. Does this mean I'm not a Christian? No, it just means that that other Christian didn't prepare you. He didn't tell you the truth. Now, if you're an unbeliever here today, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Come to Christ. Be forgiven. But there will be very deep valleys in the life of a Christian. Deeper than what you will have as a non-Christian. The devil will go at you in that deep valley and he'll jump on you. And God will, as it were, close the curtain and you'll wonder, "Where's God?" So if you're thinking of becoming a Christian, I would do you no favor by saying it's all going to be happy and rosy. No, God doesn't promise us a rose garden. Roses will have thorns and there will be deep valleys. And if you become a Christian, there will be many tears awaiting you. Yes, there'll be a heaven one day, and it's worth it. but prepare yourself for the dark night of the soul. Similarly, we sometimes go into a deep spiritual slump because we think God let us down. Or even we think maybe God broke a promise. He promised something and it didn't come to pass. I prayed for something and it didn't happen. I thought God promised me something. I thought I claimed the promise in the Bible. Now, here is where we need to educate our wounded hearts. God never breaks a promise. God is faithful. Sometimes we misunderstand His promises and we claim a promise that He did not make. Remember, I addressed that in one of these messages. That's called presumption. Presumption is when we believe a promise God did not make, and when it didn't happen, we think, God let me down. No, God didn't. So you need to educate your minds and hearts from the Word of God. And sometimes right there, that will help a person come out of the depression, because they'll say, you know, you're right. I can't blame God for breaking a promise. He never made that. Thank you. Sometimes that helps. But in other cases, God is answering your prayers in a different way than you expected. God doesn't always answer the prayers just as we want or when we want. He might say, I'll answer your prayer later. And we want it now. And when it doesn't come now, we think God hasn't answered. Just wait and be patient. And then sometimes God says, wait, I've got something for you different than what you asked for. It may even be better than what you asked for. There's a deep mystery in how God answers prayer. So again, God hasn't let you down. Keep holding on and keep trusting Him. Now, what is it like in the dark night of the soul? It's sad. It's gloomy. It's filled with despair and hopelessness. And in the deepest part of that night, it's like what Job said. Job went through this and he said, fear and trembling came upon me. One person said it's like he's at the edge of a deep, dark pit and he can't see the bottom. And he feels like he's about to fall over into it. And it's fear. It's like a panic attack. And it's like he's overwhelmed with the emotion of fear on top of the sadness. Some of you know what this is like. And then just when you think it couldn't get worse, sometimes it does get worse. Wave upon wave, and you say, I didn't think it would get any worse, and it does. And now you're crying out, help, Lord. Help, help, help. It's like going through a dark tunnel, like the old tunnels that didn't have lights in them. And you go through it, and you say, where is the light? And then maybe your headlights go off. You ever go through a tunnel like that? And then you look way in the distance, and you see a little light at the end of the tunnel. And it gets brighter and brighter. You say, oh boy, I can't wait to go through this. And you feel it's like that, but then you get out and no sooner are you out that you go into another tunnel. You know, when I go on vacation, I go through the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and when I go through the Tuscarora and Blue Mountains, I remember this every year. There's a long tunnel. Of course, it has the lights in it, but you come out and about 3 seconds later, you're in another tunnel. Sometimes it's like that in the Christian life. We go through a deep tunnel and we say it's dark and lonely and cold in here. Oh, but there's a light. There's a light. And you come out and no sooner are you out that you're into another one. And you say, here we go again. Can't I get any relief from this? It goes on day after day after day. And we cry out, why, Lord? Why me? Why now? We need to take hope. God hasn't forsaken us. But we don't understand it all. We feel as helpless as a little child. But God has an answer. He has a reason. But in these deepest times, we don't understand it. And God doesn't tell us. Just like He didn't tell Job. He's saying, just trust me. He has a reason. One reason is rather unusual. In a strange way, we need these times. You say, I need them. Well, thanks a lot. No, we do need them. It is for our spiritual well-being. You know, a good gardener will tell you, flowers need not only sunshine, they need darkness. God knows. God's the great gardener. If it was all sunshine, those flowers would wilt. They'd burn out. So God has providentially allowed night. And those flowers sometimes will close. That's good for them. And it's good for the Christian too. We can't always live in the sunlight of the mountain. We go through the dark night. And God uses that in a special way for our well-being. And we don't understand it. Someone wrote a book along this line and called it Grace Grows Best in Winter. And we need that. Just like we need sleep every night, this is good for us, and we have to take it. Now, brethren, let's look at the place in the Bible where God relates about how a man went through this, and he got God's grace to help him through it. Let's turn to Psalm 42. It says here, to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. Those were the musicians descended from Korah. It may not necessarily be by David. It may be based upon something in David's life because it closely parallels other psalms that David wrote, because it goes on to speak in the singular. When I do this, when I do this. So it could be the sons of Korah wrote this thinking of David. Be that as it may, we'll just say David was going through this. Verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He's thirsty for God. Have you ever been really thirsty? I mean, so thirsty, you'll drink anything. Cowboys used to say, I'd drink muddy water out of a hoof print. Really thirsty. And he says, I'm like a deer panting for the water brooks. Let me tell you what that really means. When I lived in Texas, I'd go hunting out at the Daniel Ranch. And, you know, sometimes you'd see deer out there. And that's the delight of being a hunter. You'll sit behind a bush and see the deer early in the morning come out at the crack of dawn. And they'll go for the water brook. And they'll see other ones. And when they're really happy, they'll go up to each other sometimes and nuzzle each other. And here's something you don't see much. Some of you know what I'm talking about, though. You'll see a deer when it's really happy, like a young deer. And they'll kind of play around with each other. And they'll nuzzle each other. And they'll poke each other. And they'll run and chase each other. And then sometimes they even do this. They even stand up on their hind legs and walk. And it looks like they're dancing with each other. I'm not kidding. I've seen that. It's very rare. But that's when they're at their very happiest. Sometimes as a Christian, we're like that. We feel like those deer dancing and walking and prancing around. But I've also seen deer when they're extremely thirsty. During a Texas drought, and it hasn't rained in weeks and in months. The creek's dried up. All the water holes are just caked with mud. And that deer goes walking very slowly. And then sometimes it runs because a wolf is chasing it. Or they hear a hunter and it takes off running. And you can see its tongue hanging out, just dry and thirsty. And it'll run to find water. And it'll get there and it'll put its head down. And there's nothing there. And that poor old deer is experiencing disappointment. So he lopes off somewhere else. And that's what it says here. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you. He's thirsting for God, for the living God, and he hasn't found it yet. He says, when shall I come and appear before God? Now, the Christian is like that. We instinctively yearn for God. We know what it's like to drink of the water of God. And so we instinctively go back to God. It's kind of like the needle on a compass. And you throw the compass around, the needle will go like this, but it'll keep going back to north. When a Christian goes through the dark night of the soul, something within him yearns instinctively for God, knowing it's God that I need. And he turns to God, but he hasn't got that soul-quenching water yet. He knows that deep down only God can satisfy that thirst. And like that deer, there are times we experience prolonged spiritual thirst. And we thirst, and we thirst, and we say, I feel parched. Lord, come and quench my thirst. And he doesn't immediately. And it goes on and on. God sometimes removes the manifestation of his presence. We mentioned that in chastening. Sometimes he does it to test us. Sometimes in order to lead us and to teach us. And believe it or not, it does actually make us stronger Christians. This is part of the spiritual discipline of spirituality and discipleship. And it makes us love God all the more. More, it makes us thank God more when he does fill us. But like David, we cry out, when will it end? Verse 2, when shall I come and appear before God? When, Lord, will it end? And a person that weeps this out say, Lord, make it stop. When will this ever end, Lord? It just goes on and on. And we cry out, Lord, make it stop. And like David says here, when will I come and appear before God? When we go through this, we start saying, Lord, I just wish I was in heaven. I just wish all this was over. It's like David said in another one. He says, I wish I could fly away like a bird and be away from all of this. Sometimes we just want to go and hide in a cave. And then our thoughts say, Lord, this is what Elijah went through. I just wish I could die and go to heaven and have all this over with. And sometimes even we contemplate suicide. When can I go and be with God and have all this behind me? So David speaks to God, and so should we. Even though we may not feel that our prayers are getting through, pray. They are getting through. Even in the darkest time of the dark night of the soul, God hears us. And in a remarkable way, God hears us even more than when we're on the mountain. Because we're in that deep valley, we cry deeper, we cry and groan out even louder to God. Yes, God is hearing us, even if we don't feel it, even if we don't sense it. Maybe getting through more than we realize. So keep praying and keep reading your Bible. Keep going to church. Keep going to work. Keep doing certain things that have to be done. Don't just lie down and say, I give up. Some of you have read the great Elizabeth Elliot. We have at least a dozen of her books in the church library. I highly commend anything she's ever written. For decades, she traveled the world speaking to ladies' groups, and after every meeting, the same thing would happen. Christian women would come up weeping and saying, oh, my husband, or oh, my children, or what I'm going through. Oh, Liz, if you only knew. And of course, Elizabeth Elliot had known. She had buried two husbands. She knew about grief. She knew about all this. And she had one little choice piece of advice for these women. She'd say, okay, have a good cry. Share it with Jesus. And now, do the next thing. What's that? Well, do the next thing. You still have laundry to do. You still have to cook and shop. You still have to care for that baby. Do the next thing. Don't just give up. Do the next thing, and you'll find that that will help. That's good practical advice. Don't give up. But keep praying, brethren, even if you don't feel like it. Better to pray when everything is going against you than not to pray when everything is going for you. One of the things about this valley is it makes us pray more. And you are learning important lessons in prayer in the dark night of the soul. But then sometimes, as I said, we feel our prayers are not being answered. Keep praying. And that's what David does here. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night while they continually say to me, where is your God? And just like with natural depression, it's very common to weep long and hard in spiritual depression. Many of us know what that's like. You weep and you weep. And you just can't stop weeping. Do you know what that's like to break down uncontrollably? And you shake. And you fall on your bed and your tears fall like rain. And you literally fill up a handkerchief with your tears. And you have to get another one. David says that. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. Day and night when you go through this. In the daytime, you say, I look forward to the night. And the night is worse. You even wake up weeping. It's dark. It's hard. And yet weeping can be good. It can be spiritually therapeutic. Even non-Christian psychologists know that it can relieve stress that builds up. But have a good cry. That can help. In fact, I like to tell people, bring your tears to Jesus. He understands. He wept. Bible says on at least three occasions. Don't you just know that in the life of Jesus, when he was teaching and preaching, people would come? Don't you just know there would be people that would come to him and they'd collapse in tears in his arms? You know that that would happen, and Jesus would be there, and they couldn't even speak, but Jesus would comfort them. The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to bring him our tears and our fears and our pain and just say, Lord, I hurt. I hurt so much I can't even speak it, Lord. He knows and he cares. Bring him your tears. And one of the most precious gifts we can give to him is an offering of our tears. And to say, Lord, I hurt. I'm still going to trust you, but Lord, here are my tears. I can't give you anything else but my tears. And he accepts those. Now, some people, even Christians, weep too little. I found this particularly amongst men. God bless the women that weep a little bit easier, but some men think it's not fitting. That's effeminate. It's not a masculine thing to do. Oh, yeah? What about David? He wept over and over again, and you're not half the man David was. What about Jesus, Paul, Peter, Moses? And if you say you're too masculine to weep, you just wait until you go into a deep valley. There's nothing wrong with this. Jesus wept. Not only that, just like weeping, it can affect you physically in other ways. Stress, ulcers, again, go to your doctor. It can affect your blood pressure. Or, notice David says, it's been my food day and night. Just like in natural depression, in spiritual depression, it affects our appetite. And even food becomes repulsive to us. And I can't eat. Or some people, they eat way too much. It can go either way. So you eat anyway, even if you don't feel like it. But not eating will hurt you. But this is no time to fast, by the way. My point is, it can affect you in a variety of ways. Tears, eating. It can keep you awake at night, or you sleep way too much. Then David says, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Now, these would be his enemies. And they're taunting him. You say you're a Christian. Can you hear Satan behind that? Satan will come to you when you're going through this and say, you say you're a Christian? You say you're such a mature Christian. How? If you're such a Christian, what are you doing mourning and weeping like this? That's cruel mockery. And they kick us when we're down. But there's something else. They're saying, where is your God? When we go through that, we also will say, where is God? I need him. Lord, where are you? I don't feel you. Why aren't you answering my prayers? Where is God? And we feel like crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm alone. Where are you, God? That's where you're really deep in the dark night of the soul. David went through it. But David went through it, meaning God took him through it. Just like God took the Lord Jesus Christ through it when he cried out, why have you forsaken me? Look at verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. That's good. We pour it out before God. He says, I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and multitude, with praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. This could be talking about David when he was chased out of town by Absalom and he missed going back to the temple. He says, I remember the good times. You see, when we go through bad times, we say, I wish I could go back to those times. Oh, I remember, you know, a conference I went to and I never felt so happy in my life. Or I read a book and it was just like, I felt like I was in heaven. When we go through the bad times, we remember the good times and we wish we could go back to them. It's just like in natural depression, it's very common for what the psychologists call regression. We feel like we want to go back and be a little child again. And sometimes a person going through that will go up in the attic and open the trunk and play with his toys. Grown people will do that. An old person will remember when he was in middle age, or we look back like that. And so spiritually it's like that. We We yearn for the happy days. Often, very often, a Christian years later when he goes through this will say, I wish I was a brand new Christian again. Oh, those first few weeks and months. Oh boy, I was clapping my hands and I was weeping joy. I wish I was a baby Christian again. That's what David is saying here. Oh, I used to go with him with the voice of joy and praise. You know, William Cooper, who went through spiritual depression many times and wrote great hymns, he said, where is the joy that once I knew and first I knew the Lord? Where is it? Oh, that I could recapture that again. And we remember those happy times, and now it hurts to think about them. Because you say, I'm not going through that. Now, remembering can be good. It can be therapeutic. For example, remember that the Lord did bless you, and He can bless you again. Remember other times when you went through a dark night and the Lord led you through it. Remember past mercies. When we feel hopeless, we feel it'll never end. You felt like that before and it did end. The Lord led you through that. Remember, that can help. Remember past mercies. But we can't dwell on the past. You can't live in the past. You can't go home again. You can't go through life looking in the rearview mirror. But David here is doing more than just simply remembering. He's saying, I'm longing for spiritual fellowship, not just with God, but with other Christians. When we go through a dark valley, we often want to isolate ourselves. We stop going to church. Don't go to the prayer meeting. Not only do we stop reading the Bible, we just want to be alone like a... You ever see a wounded dog that just wants to go in a corner and shake and lick its own wounds? We feel like that. And we feel isolated from God and from other people. Gloria Jones says, it's like we want to be alone, but not be alone. Our emotions are like that. So we long for spiritual fellowship. Do you miss Christian fellowship when you miss going to church? Maybe it's been weeks or months. Do you long to be back in the family of God, to sing the songs and to hear preaching and to have communion? That's what David was feeling here. We should miss Christian fellowship and not become a hermit. Verse 5. Now David addresses himself. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Now that is a good description of this ailment we're looking at. Now he is not simply talking to himself, and psychologists say that's a symptom of an imbalanced emotional state when you start talking to yourself. Well, with some people it would be in natural depression, but in spiritual depression, it can actually be a good thing. Lloyd-Jones addressed this, and he says, there are times we need to do this. David did it, and it's part of the answer. Lloyd-Jones had a very poignant way of putting it. He said, there are times we need to speak to ourselves, but not listen to ourselves. Now, that's very profound. It's not contradictory. What he meant was this. When we go through these dark times, we cry out in despair and we tend to listen to that and it spirals us down. Instead, we need to feed our thoughts with the Word of God and talk back to ourselves the promises of God. And that's what David is doing here. He's saying, why are you cast down? Hope in God. So Lloyd-Jones was correct. There's a time to talk to yourself and not listen to yourself. And likewise, it can help to talk it out with a caring, wise Christian brother or sister. Go and talk to them and say, would you give me some time and just listen to me? And that's how we can help others, by saying, I will listen with my ears that are open and with an open heart. We'll get back to that later. So we need to talk it out and maybe listen to what they say to us. And that's what David is doing here. He's talking back and forth. So find a receptive Christian to talk it out. And there are Christians in this church that will listen. Phone up me. I will listen. I'll be the ears of Jesus, and hopefully we'll share counsel and love with you. But seek out another brother or another sister in this church as well. Talk to God. And as David does here, he spiritually talks to himself and he discovers the answer here. And the answer is in the second part of verse 5. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. In other words, yes, I'm going to go through this and I will yet praise God for the help of his countenance. Hope in God. I preached a whole message on that a few months ago. There's always hope with God. And hope in the Bible is not just, you know, a positive mental attitude, but it's that confident expectation where you trust in God and say, God will see me through this. I trust in him. I don't know how he'll do it, but he will be with me in this and he will gradually see me through this. There is always hope in God. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 130 verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is loving kindness. But it isn't over yet. Look in verse 6. He goes back into the valley. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizah. It's not over yet. It doesn't go away immediately. It might go away gradually. It's like he says there is hope, and all of a sudden it feels like his hope is taken away from him. Back to the shadows. And then verse 7, he says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. He feels like he's being overwhelmed. Have you ever felt like that? Overwhelmed with grief and despair and darkness. And you say, it's only getting worse. It's like waves are now going over him. Turn with me very briefly over to Psalm 69, where David said the same thing. We find this often here in the scriptures. Verses 1 and 2, save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God, being overwhelmed. But this indicates where the answer is. It's in God. And let me remind you of two places that are like echo of this. One of them is in Isaiah 43. Turn with me to that. David says, I feel like I'm overwhelmed by waters, water of my tears, and all this hopelessness. But over in Isaiah 43, we find these wonderful words. Verse 2, God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. God says, when they overwhelm you, I will be with you in that flood. He promises. Now we find two examples of this. One in the old, one in the new. One of them is in the book of Jonah. And literally, Jonah was overwhelmed by the waters. Remember, they threw him overboard. He went down, 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 swallowed by the whale. And it says he began to cry out to God. Look closely at his prayer, and there's an answer for you. When Jonah felt absolutely hopeless, you talk about dark. There's no light inside of a whale. He was dark, helpless, and despair, feeling, I'm going to die in this. The fishermen up there are not going to rescue me. I can only turn to God. What did he do? He cried out to the Lord, and he remembered a scripture verse. And he incorporated that in his prayer. What was the scripture verse? Psalm 42. And he took hope in God. God will hear me from the belly of the whale, deep under the ocean, deep under the waterfalls, under the waves. And God did hear him and bring him out through that. The second example, oh, by the way, there's a lesson there. He remembered the scriptural promises and he prayed them back to God. When we go through the dark night of the soul, remember God's promises and pray them back to God and claim them. The second example is in the New Testament. It says, all your waves and billows are going over me here. You remember when the disciples were in the boat at night? It was night. No light. Probably cast over with clouds because a storm blew up. And they didn't see the land. They didn't see light. And the billows were going over the board. And they go to Jesus, Lord, Lord, don't you care? That's what we cry out to God when we go through deeper and deeper. We say, Lord, don't you care? If you cared for me, you'd take me out of this. Have you ever prayed, Lord, if this was my child, I would rescue him. Why don't you rescue me from what I'm going through? Well, they went to Jesus. Don't you care? God does care, brethren. He did care for them, and He rescued them, and He will come to our rescue as well. And Jesus stopped the storm. You might be closer to the answer than you realize. Cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Here's where a glimmer of hope comes in. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Lloyd Jones says, in the middle of the desert, God can open up a spring and an oasis. David says here, day and night, just like earlier, he says, day and night I weep. Now he says, in the daytime and the nighttime, God can give me loving kindness and a song. I like how he puts it here. He says, the Lord will command His loving kindness. It's as if the loving kindness is one of His many servants. And God says, servant, go to my child. He needs you. He needs loving kindness. And that's what we need when we are in this deep valley. We need to be reassured God is not only in control, but He still loves us. Be reassured, family of God. He does still love you, even in the deepest part of the valley. Now, verse 9 is kind of a repetition of what he said before. He says, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? That's what we think. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And so on and so forth. He says, with a break in my bones, they're saying to me, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Here again, he echoes what he said. We go through this over and over again, but he says again, as he concludes, hope in God. I will yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. What is he saying? The answer is this. Go to God. He is the hope of the hopeless. He is the answer we need. And we need to keep reminding ourselves of His promises. So let me leave you with some very brief practical lessons to remember, brethren. Number one, go to God. And in those storms and in the darkness, learn to just simply get a hold of God and dwell on His love. It's going to take you through the deep waters. So hold on tight and say, there's nothing else that I can trust except God. Number two, if there's sin in your life, confess it to God. Because sin will only make it worse. Number three, as we've seen over and over again, pray. Keep praying out. Keep crying out to God, even if you don't sense He's hearing you. He is hearing you more than you realize. Number four, keep doing the next thing. Keep reading your Bible. Keep going to church. Keep on going. Don't give up. Now, number five is, how can we help another person that's going through this? You may not be going through this, but maybe your spouse, your parent, your child, a good friend, a brother or sister in Christ. We need to be God's hands to help others that are going through this. So what can we do? Encourage him. Reassure him of the love of God. Show compassion. Wipe away tears. Don't be like Job's friends. Come and offer comfort. Listen from the heart as well as the ears and bring that person back to reality. Sometimes when you go through that valley, you say it's hopeless. You can say, no, no, no. There's always hope with God. God brought you through it before. He will again. That's where we can help another person, as it were, bring them back to the promises and true reality. Now, sometimes that person needs to vent his emotions and weep. Be there to wipe away tears, but be ready. Sometimes that person might even be angry. Why would God let this happen to me? And he may vent anger at you. Absorb it in love. That's how you can also show love to the person going through it. And remind him of the promises of God and past mercies. Now, another thing very important. This is number six. Go to God and go specifically to the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, he doesn't know what it's like. Oh, I'll go to another person that's gone through this and he can say, I know just what it's like. Jesus hasn't been through this. Yes, he has. He went through a deeper, dark night of the soul than we will ever go through. It's called Gethsemane, which happened to be at night. and he poured out his soul. He wept, and he wept in agony. Listen to what Hebrews says. Jesus can have compassion on those that are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death, he was heard because of his godly fear. We go through our own personal Gethsemane and say, Lord, take it away, take it away. And sometimes God says, I'm not going to take it away. But he'll give us something else. When Jesus wept in Gethsemane and said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, God gave him strength. Look it up in the Gospel of Luke. An angel appeared strengthening him. And brethren, when you pour out your heart in tears and in agony to God in the deepest part of the valley, in the darkest part, God will be there. It's almost as if he is there invisibly right next to you, like the angel next to Jesus. And you say, I don't sense it. I don't feel it. Like when I'm on the mountain. He will be there closer to you when you don't feel it. But take his promise. He will be with you in your deepest valley. And the Lord Jesus will be right there when you need him the most. Lastly, number 7. Have hope in God. God will see you through it. It won't be permanent. God will give you little rest stops, as it were, along the way. He'll surprise you even in the midst of tears. Many of us can testify to that. But also, as David said, when will I come and appear before you? Take hope in this, child of God. This is not permanent. It's a valley that you go through and it leads to heaven. This is a road we will travel. This is not permanent. Take hope in God. And when you get to heaven, no more tears. He'll wipe away the tears. No more dark night, because it's all light then. No more depression. There'll only be joy. This encourages us when we think about heaven. Brothers and sisters, I hope that this morning message will be of comfort to anybody here that's going through this. And remember this, for one day you will go through it. May the Lord himself bless this to our souls, this day and always. Let us pray. Father, we don't fully understand all of your ways. We don't always understand why you let us go through such deep, dark times. But we know that you have a reason. So we cry out to you, and we trust in you, and our hope is in you alone. See us through the dark night. Take us through depression. Be with us and lead us, O Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our hymn.